It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Ainsley Earhart.
I'm Charles Payne.
I'm Martha McCallum, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, June 1st, 2022. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. In the war zone that is Ukraine, some military veterans offer hope to those who can't escape on their own, rescuing hundreds of civilians, including babies, as the conflict rages around them.
Because the Russians don't care about passports, we don't care about passports either, frankly. So if you are in need and you're in a bad spot and I can get to you and I have the resources to do it, I have no problem rescuing anybody. I don't care where they're from.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Millions of Ukrainians have fled Ukraine due to Russia's war. The International Rescue Committee says 6 million people have gone to neighboring countries in the fastest and largest displacement crisis since World War II. But they note many others have not been able to get out. Some are stranded and can't leave due to violence, destroyed infrastructure, as well as a simple lack of information on how to get out and where to go. We've heard stories about civilian corridors not being honored, missions to rescue women and children from the steel plant in Mariupol while occupied by Russians finally worked out. President Volodymyr Zelensky announced in early May the humanitarian corridor had finally begun bringing civilians out of that area. Still, it's been a harrowing experience for many, though there are groups working to rescue people who are trapped, as they have done in other countries.
December 17th, we are starting, we are in Kabul on our way to the airport, hopefully getting out of here. We've got over 50 people that we're bringing out.
Project Dynamo is one such group. They effort for the most part to save American citizens and green card holders out of Ukraine. They did this in Afghanistan as well after the country fell to the Taliban in August. Their work is grueling, terrifying, and rewarding.
Well, here at Project Dynamo, we're always really busy. We never have one thing going on. We've rescued over 1,100 people in the last, 100 days or whatever it's been.
Brian Stern is an Army and Navy veteran and the founder of Project Dynamo.
So I'm working 3 concurrent operations at the same time in the East, while part of my team is working 3 or 4 operations kind of back to back in the West.
Are these families? Are these individuals?
Yeah. So we have some Americans that are trapped in occupied territory. They can't get out. We have we're doing evacuations at a Mariupol. We've done 480 people. We've evacuated 480 people from Mariupol in the last 4 days. So we think we have another 200 or 300, which is awesome because the Mighty Red Cross only got about 150 out. So it's kind of nice to kind of cool to be able to trump the Mighty Red Cross, you know. But I like the Red Cross.
I want to talk about babies in a second because I know you've done some extremely harrowing and heroic work on the baby front. But talk to me about Mariupol. It sounds like you've seen the town. I understand more than 20,000 people have been killed there. I mean, what have you seen? What is it like there?
The best way to describe Mariupol, the most effective way to describe it is, especially for New Yorkers, it looks like ground zero after 9/11. That's the best way to describe it, where it's piles of buildings, shells of buildings, lots of dead people. Lots of people suffering, lots of tears, lots of unknown, lots of confusion, and take all that 9/11 stuff and just multiply it by 10 or 20. And that's Mariupol. That's the best way to think about it.
We know in Mariupol, there was this big effort to get the soldiers, even families, out of that steel plant for a while. I understand there was some success there with a humanitarian corridor. But have you or your people run into Russian soldiers? And have you had to get creative? Have they ever tried to stop you or harm you as you're rescuing people?
Yeah, so our 480 folks that we got out was 30, don't quote me on the numbers, is over 30 individual operations. And those 30 operations collectively had to negotiate just over 900 Russian checkpoints. So that some of them take 3 or 4 days to negotiate. So, there are Russian soldiers and tanks and stuff. It's Russian occupied territory. So there's Russians everywhere from Mariupol to the border. When Americans are in trouble, we tend to hear about those because we're an American rescue organization. But the vast majority of the people that we rescued are Ukrainian. The vast majority, 85% or more, if I go off the numbers. So of the 480 that we just got out of Mariupol, every single one of those are, there's no Americans there, I can tell you that much. They're either 99.9% Ukrainian or 100% Ukrainian. There might be a straggler in there too that I'm not aware of. But we don't, Russian artillery doesn't seem to care about passports. And Russian tanks and troops don't seem to care about passports. Kirill Alexandrov, this American citizen that we rescued 2 weeks ago now, almost 3 weeks ago now, who was arrested for espionage, him and his wife were the first victims of war crimes that are Americans that have lived, that are alive since World War II. Russians didn't seem to care that he was an American. So because the Russians don't care about passports, we don't care about passports either, frankly. So if you are in need and you're in a bad spot and I can get to you and I have the resources to do it, I have no problem rescuing anybody. I don't care where they're from. We are donor funded and we need financial help real bad, though. These things are crazy. These things are very expensive and they're very hard, and we need donations, and we need donations very badly. ProjectDynamo.org, shameless plug. I've left my pride on the table a long time ago.
No, I mean, for this kind of work, do it. When you said sometimes it takes 3 to 4 days to negotiate a checkpoint, talk to me a little bit more about, I guess, the fear level. I'm sure the people you're rescuing are already terrified, but for you guys, as you're talking to Russian military, how do you feel in those moments? And does it ever get dicey? Are you ever like, oh my gosh, we're probably not going to get out of here?
Yeah, just for media purposes, I don't really get into our interactions with any of these
Got
folks.
It.
What I will say is they sent the guy to kill me on May 11th at a pickup that we did. So to suffice it to say that it's dangerous. It is dangerous. It is scary. We've taken artillery fire. We've had a couple of really, really, really close calls out here in the contested areas and even in the Ukrainian areas, to be frank. So it is Ukraine is an active war zone. It just is. No matter where you are in the country, in the occupied areas, in the contested areas, or in the Ukrainian held territory, it is a war zone. A Ukrainian checkpoint are armed with guys with machine guns who are looking for bad guys, and they will kill you where you stand if you do the wrong thing. They will, and that's okay. They're a country at war, so that's appropriate, right? But it is a war zone. There's no complete with everything that war zones have. Although there's landmines, there's artillery, there's missiles, there's spies, there's saboteurs, there's hitmen, there's criminal stuff. There's all kinds of things here that are very, 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 very complicated.
Are you like on Telegram and WhatsApp? How do people get a hold of you and say, hey, Brian, can you come save me?
Yeah, we're on everything. So I have a team of case managers who are the real unsung heroes of Project Dynamo. These are we're all volunteers. Everyone, the I'm not paid. I don't have a salary yet. We're working on that, but to date, we haven't figured out a way to make we haven't figured out a way to pay ourselves yet. Again, from a donation perspective, every dollar goes to an operation. So 10 months without a paycheck. People find us through our website. People find us through social media. People find us through media like Fox. They go to the website, they register, or they call, or they find us through Telegram or Viber or WhatsApp groups or all kinds of different ways. A lot of referrals. There's a lot of scam groups out here that, you know, such a deal I have for you. Yeah. Send me $10,000 and I'll get you out of Mariupol. You send them 10 grand, they keep your money and they disappear. We don't do that. We don't charge anybody money. Nobody. I'm not a bus service. If you are fleeing your home, I'm not going to charge money to leave. If you have the means to make a donation, by all means. If you don't, that's cool too. So we've always been that way. Even in Afghanistan, when we were landing Airbus A320s, we were that way also. We never charged. It never made any sense to me when people charge people fleeing money. I just never really, that never really sat well with me.
You've been listening to Brian Stern, founder of Project Dynamo. We'll have more after this. Speaking of Afghanistan, that's, I think, when I first heard about Project Dynamo, I think many of us did. I want your thoughts, just take us back to the fall of, you know, 2021, or really the late summer, when the Biden administration was saying, you know, oh, there are like, you know, some odd 100 Americans left. Were you like, that's not true? Or like, what were you situationally aware of as things were falling apart there?
So oddly, it was General Austin, Secretary of Defense Austin, General Austin, and Secretary of State Blinken that were testifying before. They were testifying on the Hill is where those numbers came from. That's where that big soundbite came from. That was September 17th. And 2.5 days later, we delivered 122 to Chicago. So we were unaware that that's what they had said. So we got beat up a little bit because they said, yeah, about 100 Americans. Then we showed up with 122 and it kind of messed up their talking points a little bit. I didn't mean it, but as far as Afghanistan goes, we have not pivoted to Ukraine. We expanded. We're actually still doing things in Afghanistan. We did an Afghanistan operation last week. We have a few more Afghanistan operations coming up in the next 10 days. So
what operations? Who are you taking out? Who are you helping?
These are people who are at risk of being killed by the Taliban, is what I'll say. They're not here yet, so I'm a little squeamish about disclosing who they are and that whole thing. But the 95% of the people that we've pulled out of Afghanistan have been American citizens or green card holders.
Brian, if people don't know you from Afghanistan, they might know you from those articles out of Ukraine when you and your team rescued three premature babies, including twins. The girl, yeah. Sophia, went to a British couple. The boys, Lenny and Moishe, went to a couple in Chicago. These were babies apparently born to surrogates, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know surrogacy is a big business in Ukraine. That must have been insane. I know you've talked about it to other outlets, the logistics of doing that, but tell me a little bit about like the surrogacy work that you're doing to save babies. These are babies who are born to Ukrainian women, but by their surrogacy paperwork, they're citizens of other countries.
Correct. Yeah. So it's the surrogate. So Lenny and Moishe Spector and baby Sophia, the Brit, from a blood pressure perspective, I've seen a lot of crazy things. I've had a lot of crazy experiences in my career and my life. And I will tell you, I when that was over, I slept for like 3 days.
I'm sure.
Moving premature babies from, you know, from NYU to Lenox Hill in New York is stressful. And then doing it in a foreign country is even more stress. And then in a war zone is even more stress. And both sets, the boys and baby Sophia, were at different hospitals. And we took artillery, the ground was shaking at both locations. So from Russian artillery. And then we had to drive across the entire country. This was early days in the war. So it was a, a mad dash to the border with three very, 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 very ill babies, all of whom survived. All of they're on incubators, feeding tubes, ventilators, the whole thing. So scary. One of them, like, it was a lot of stress there. So we've been doing baby operations ever since then. Multiple times a week, we've done, I want to say, 40 of them or so.
Wow.
give or take. So the thing with this, so I, that was my first exposure to surrogacy as a technique or as a meet, as a way to make a family. And what you learn through this is that most people that, or not most, pretty much all of people who are using a surrogate to make a family, they've been, this is the end of a 7 or 8 or 9 year process. They tried the natural way, that didn't work. They tried rounds of IVF, that didn't work. And it's usually the last step before adoption. So, and they start this process about a year to a year and a half in advance. So when these people started their surrogacy journey in Ukraine, the war wasn't here yet. So imagine 8 years of trying to make a baby and it doesn't work. Finally, you figure out a way to do it with a surrogate, the sperm and the egg, they make an embryo and the surrogate accepts it, which is a whole big process by itself. A lot of science and a lot of failure. It doesn't always work. All kinds of problems, and finally it's working, and finally she's pregnant, and finally, oh wow, we're gonna be parents, and it's gonna be wonderful. And good news, Vladimir Putin invades the place where your surrogate lives. Yeah, that's pretty tough. And to add insult to injury, there's no U.S. embassy here, so you can't get your baby a passport easily. So how do you get a baby across the border? How does that work? And we do it. We do it day in and day out. So I could tell you there's a way, but it is very, very, very complicated. The tactical execution is just as complicated as the administrative process to do these operations. And again, they're very expensive. If you like babies and you think you know you can get behind babies, please donate money to Project Dynamo.
Brian Stern, co-founder of Project Dynamo, thank you so much for your time and for the work that you do. It's incredible. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.